Welcome again to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. How does your garden grow?
I have a bumper crop of daffodils this year, and I can't believe it. I was just about ready to dig them up because in the last several years, they haven't been doing anything. One clump, I counted, one clump has 10 buds, the other clump, 15. So it must have been a magical winter for daffodils.
It must be, but you have such a green thumb, I am not surprised. You know, I'm glad the way the spring has kind of rounded its way out. We had some really cold temperatures when we thought we were in spring, and then we got a little bit of a shock, and everybody was out covering up their,
right.
their tender plants,
including me.
So we have to be still careful, because our last frost possibility is all the way into the middle of May.
No.
So we have to have patience. And we've said that many times before. We have to have some patience. Well, somebody who does not have patience today is some little juncos and some little chickadees, and they are right outside of our recording area giving us the business. I think they're nesting, and
yes.
You said you found some nests on the ground, so.
Yes, they nest quite low. I had some debris piled on the north side of our garage, and I was going to remove that, but now I can't. Until they're done nesting.
Oh, you're such a good steward of nature. Well, if you have things that are popping and nesting and cheeping away in your yard, we welcome you to In the Garden, heard every Wednesday on KDWA Radio. All right, our topic this time is...
Feel the need to plant some seeds.
Just the right time, Char.
You bet. For those of us who plant seeds in springtime, there are some simple steps to ensure this process goes well. Personally, I will say one of my earliest and happiest childhood memories in springtime was thumbing through seed packets and planning for whatever I wanted to see grow that summer. So for starters, let's talk about the actual seeds that you're going to be starting. It's important that these seeds are not too old. The older the seed, the less likely germination will be a success. The percentage of germination actually goes down steadily with the older seeds, and especially certain varieties. Now, I'm not recommending this, but for instance, I've had better luck with older tomato seed than I have lettuce seed. I'm only talking like 3 to 4 years old. But if you had lettuce seed that's a couple of years old, you'll be lucky if you got a crop out of that. So tomatoes, they're a little tougher in the seed department. So newer rather than older seed is very important. And by the way, the date the seed was produced should be somewhere on the seed packet, probably on the bottom in the back. Choosing the brand of seed is also important. Sometimes going with a name brand that's more easily recognizable will ensure that your crop will be more successful. More care is taken because of the reputation that the company may be trying to live up to. Before we get into the actual method of planting the seed, let's talk about how certain seeds need to be prepared before planting. Most likely, the larger the seed, the more a special preparation might be necessary. Two seeds that come to mind are sweet pea and morning glory. Be sure and read the back of the seed packet. It might tell you the best way to prepare the seed there. For morning glory seed, the tough outer shell, which can in itself be a detriment for germination, can be nicked with an emery board or a nail file, and then soaked overnight in room temperature water before planting. The same thing with sweet pea seeds, and especially the soaking overnight method. Also, because they are in the legume family, if you happen to have access to a nitrogen-fixing inoculant powder. Now that's a mouthful.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, there is such a thing. But say you happen to have that. give the sweet peas a dose of that powder and it will increase their yield.
You know, I'm doing the same thing with canna seeds. Now, most people are familiar with canna bulbs, but I did collect the seeds and they are little cannonballs. They are so hard and you do need to both soak those and nick those. Now, they're also very, very small. So you have to kind of devise a way to cut the hull of the seed without cutting your fingers.
Yep. And also not cutting the inside part. I forget what that's called in the seed world, but you don't want to nick that inside part. Remember, too, some seeds are toxic, especially like the castor bean plant, and even the morning glory seeds can be toxic, not just because of any protective coating that the seed company might apply to make sure that the seed is viable, just the nature of the seed itself.
You know, speaking of those coatings, I've also seen coatings of color placed on seeds that are specifically geared to be able to find them because they're so small.
Right.
And I thought that was very unusual, but I guess it's
a good idea. A good idea. And do they call it pelletized or something? I think, yeah. So do beware if you're planting seeds and you've got some young children around, these seeds could look mighty intriguing, like some kind of a nut to them. I mentioned sweet peas before. Say, for instance, you had sweet pea seeds left from last year and you're not sure if they're viable at all. There is a way to tell if they're going to grow or not. After you've done the nicking the seed and soaking overnight, or probably not the soaking overnight, but after you've nicked the seed, then lay them between maybe a couple of layers of paper toweling on maybe a work table in your garage if it's warm enough, or in your basement. Just make sure it doesn't get too chilly. And then maybe on that top layer, you might want to put a saran wrap to make sure that the moisture stays inside. Then, after several days, depending on the germination date that you've looked at on the back of the seed packet, provided you've kept the paper towel moist, you should be able to tell if the seeds are going to send out a small sprout or not.
I think that's really valuable because then you're not wasting all of your time if the entire package is old.
You only have to do a few and not the whole thing.
We're talking today about seeds. If you feel the need to plant some seeds, I hope that you're enjoying our program today on In the Garden with Kelly and Shar. And we're here every Wednesday. You know, Shar, so many of these tips and so many of our topics may have some application to what you're doing or maybe something that you've done in the past. And if you have some suggestions or some successes, we'd love to hear them. So check out our Facebook page, In the Garden with Kelly and Shar, and we'd love to feature some of your photos or some of your questions. All right, Shar, back to those seeds.
We were talking about doing a little test sprouting. By the way, if you see any sprouts under those paper towels, you can plant them. If you haven't waited too long, don't let that little sprout dry out, but you could actually plant those. Now, for seed starting, I can't emphasize enough how important using a lighter-based soil is. So a seed starting mix is essential so that those teeny tiny roots that come out of the seed itself can easily force their way through the soil medium. Usually seed starting mix is completely dry when you purchase it, so you'll need to moisten it to begin with. Now, if you're planting tomatoes from seed, there's something else. They need a little extra time in a startup pot before you put them outside in the ground or into a, say, a larger pot or planter. You may then need to put the tomato, whether it's in a peat pot or if you can remove it gently from its startup pot, you should put it in a mixture of that seed starting soil and maybe regular potting soil so that the tomato has a little more heft to grow its roots in.
And it also has a little bit more water retainability.
Retainability, exactly. And this would be after your tomato seedlings are a couple of inches tall, by the way. Now, in an earlier In the Garden with Kelly and Shar program, we talked about various seed starting containers you could use. I won't go into that again, except to remind our listeners that if you are using a peat pot for starting your seeds, you won't need to take the plant out of the peat pot. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't, because it will possibly injure the plant's roots. They do fasten themselves to the walls of the peat pot. When it's eventually safe enough weather-wise to plant the seedling out into the garden, the roots, provided you just set the whole peat pot in, the roots will eventually penetrate the wall of the peat pot and grow directly into the garden dirt. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. What should you do immediately after you've planted your seeds in whatever container you've chosen? It's important that the location of the pots or containers are in a relatively warm location. As a matter of fact, to boost germination, there's a product called seedling heat mat. And what it is a heavy gauge vinyl with some heating elements inside that you place on a flat surface. And then if you use a type of a seed tray, you can place that seed tray over the top of the mat.
Also remember that this is not something that you would put a tray that with water comes back through there.
Right.
Make sure that your water or your container is watertight. You don't want water coming down to that mat.
Correct.
Because it's
correct.
Plugged in.
Right, exactly. And I do know they try to make them as much waterproof as they can, but that's no guarantee of safety. So be safe. So the mat usually has a thermostat that can go up to a maximum of 85 degrees. And by the way, a cover or a dome type of thing over your seed tray will help to keep that seed starting soil mix moist inside. The cover, of course, should have air holes, depending on whatever you use, so that air can circulate and that mold doesn't form. So it's important to have warmth for seeds in the very beginning. At first, during the early part of germination process, you won't need light, not until the baby seedlings first peek their heads out of the dirt. So this is where it's necessary for you to keep a close eye on the seed starting tray on a daily basis, actually, to check for those tiny little shoots. Once they appear, if a window with natural light isn't an option for you, I would recommend investing in a grow light. I have several in my home, and the bulbs usually last for several years. So they do need light at that point when the sprouts appear. Germination rates, I'll just give you a few examples. Tomatoes take 7 to 14 days to germinate. So does lettuce. Sweet peas now, 10 to 21 days. So be patient with those. Cosmos, 10 to 14. Forget-me-nots, 8 to 10. Those are just a few plants to give you an idea. Always check the back of the seed packet for that kind of information. To direct sow or to start indoors, here's where the back of the seed packet is again helpful. Some packets will say whether it's recommended one way or the other. I would say most always tomato seed is recommended to start indoors.
I'll never forget the year that I started a whole package of bean plants indoors. Oh. What a waste of time.
Oh, didn't work well.
No, you really need to. But you would get so antsy at the beginning of the season. You really want it to go now. So I thought, well, I'll just start them and I'll just put them in. Oh my goodness, what a mess. It was so much easier just to wait, and I had enough time. I think we just get so worried that we won't have enough time to have it be harvested. But there's enough time. Just hang in there.
If you're doing the direct sow into the garden, or if that is what the recommended method is, make sure your garden soil has been worked finely enough so that it's free of any last year's garden debris or large rocks, twigs, and stuff. Make sure your row is clearly marked with posts or whatever row marker. Make some decorated row markers, why don't you? Get those kids involved with some fun ideas. And if your garden is on a slant or a moderate slope, put your row perpendicular in the line of the slope or slant so that in the event of a heavy spring rain, your seed doesn't all wash away. And direct sowing requires careful attention to soil depth. Too deep can mean the success or failure of your crop. If the little seedling is too deep under the surface of the soil, it will just be too challenged to make it all the way into the sunshine. And the depth info is where? On the back of the seed packet. And also just a note before we close, to those who are thinking of planting any vine crops like cucumbers, squash, pumpkins, melons, the soil at night needs to be between 65 and 75 degrees. So 65 at a minimum. Otherwise, that type of seed is just going to sit there in the ground and possibly even rot if it's too cool. Pepper plants, too, need warm nights. Most people I know plant pepper set-out plants, but even then, those pepper plants need warm nights. So, Kelly, I think I've touched on quite a few pointers to successful seed germination. Let me just say, there's nothing as fun as watching something sprout or germinate from seed. You feel like you're making a contribution to the world, either in the form of food you can eat or sharing some homegrown beauty with family, friends, and neighbors. So give it a try. I guarantee it will be rewarding.
Oh, it's been very rewarding. I do have some seeds coming up, and the preparation is very satisfying. It really is. Well, before we go, we have time for another segment of Let's Ask Char. Today's question comes from Barb, and she wants to know, is there an additive that we could use that might give our plants a little bit of boost this season? What do you recommend, Char?
I have one that's right in the bathroom, probably in the bathroom cupboard or whatever. Epsom salts, a wonderful source of magnesium and sulfur for watering violets, African violets, or even adding to fresh new plantings of rose bushes. So they make a plant's foliage even greener and bushier. So if your soil pH is higher than 7.5, adding Epsom salts in moderation can lower that number and neutralize it somewhat. Never add Epsom salts to acidic soil, though. That's one thing. And this ratio is 2 tablespoons per gallon of water, and you can even apply it directly to the foliage. Don't rely on Epsom salts as a main source of fertilizer because it doesn't have nitrogen, phosphorus, or potassium. So you'll just be providing magnesium and the plain Epsom salts rather than the scented. I'm not too sure about what the scented will do, so I haven't researched it, but plain Epsom salts.
That sounds like a great tip. Well, again, thanks for tuning in. And if you have a tip or a question for Char, please send it in to ITG with Kelly and Char at gmail.com. We'll see you next time on In the Garden.
Bye, everyone.
That's our show for today. Be sure to tune in next week to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. Heard each Wednesday on KDWA Radio and online at kdwa.com. Time is close.